Hi, everybody. Welcome to the containment unit. This is Janine Melnitz. What can I do for you?
Put on your bunny slippers. It's slime for the Ghostbusters Containment Unit podcast with your hosts, Matt and Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of the Containment Unit podcast. As always, my name is Matthew Sanders, and with me is my friend and yours. Actually, not. It is just me today and a group of friends coming together for a conversation. Part of what we strive to do at the Containment Unit is to talk about Ghostbusters, absolutely. And guess what? There's going to be so much for us to talk about here in just a little bit. We also love to talk about autographs, and we want to help those who are trying to improve and increase the amount of autographs in their personal containment units, in their personal collections. So that's what today is all about. So I hope you enjoy our conversation about through the mail collecting. TTM is what a lot of people call it. What does it mean? How do you do it? How do you get started? Well, hopefully my conversation with some of our fellow containment unit members will help answer a lot of these questions. And if you still have questions, please feel free to post them in the group. We'd be more than glad to help you. Also, quick reminder, don't be a peck, okay? Just be nice, be helpful. That is what we're all about. And that is what today really is all about as well. So don't be a peck. Have a great week. Tom and I will be back with some exciting things to talk about here in the very near future.
Welcome, guys. Thank you for joining me today. Our goal here is to share, talk a little bit about autographs, talk about through the mail success. And I had asked our group earlier this week who had any success with through the mail autographs. And you guys are the longtime veterans. And so I figured what we could do is, since not a lot of people know when we say TTM, what that means, what that is, I figured we would take some time, break it down, help people understand what it means, how to do it the right way, and just share any kind of pro tips that we had. And so I figure the first thing that we could do is just take a moment, because even for me, I know all the names, but I don't always know all the faces. And so if you just go ahead and share a little bit about, share your name, and I'm not going to point because I know we're all in different spots on the screen, but if someone just wants to go with your name and kind of just give us a little bit of your autograph collecting background. All right, Paul, go ahead.
Okay, you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I guess today I started all this as a kid with baseball spring training with my father in the 80s, and it's grown into, I guess you could call it a monster. So I've, you know, started out with spring training, started doing sports teams when they come to Florida, and I've ventured into the through the mail location, autograph application. And I've also, then I started going to, I guess, actors and actresses. That's my background. I've been doing some form of collecting property for over 30 years, not longer.
So. Yeah. Well, I share the same card background too, and starting with sports autographs. And I was just at a local card show today. So, I love that stuff. The cardboard is addicting. Autographs make it even worse.
Yeah, I would say start off with baseball cards. Baseballs and baseball cards were my first autographs.
Okay. All right. All right, Ryan, how about you?
About the same as Paul. Started going to like minor league games and stuff when I was a kid with my dad, and to hang out and get autographs, and got addicted, you know. Now it's everything.
Yeah.
I'm concerts and sports and wrestling and actors, wrestling. Everything. Yeah.
I've been a longtime wrestling fan. I only just started collecting wrestling wax. I love it. I'm getting sick. How about you, Carl?
Slightly similar story, but I mean, I used to collect just regular sports cards and started in the late 80s and early 90s. And that was not a, you know, there were a lot of cards available at the time, but they ended up just being everywhere and there wasn't much you could do with them. And then I think it was either Beckett or one of the magazines I was buying said, oh, you could send cards out to players to get signed. And they had the addresses for all the teams. And I just kind of started taking all those cards I had and just started sending them out. And was amazed at how many I was actually getting back, amazingly enough. And I just kind of caught the bug from there. So going from there, I started buying more cards to send out. Then I was actually collecting with my mom and my father-in-law. So they had interest outside kind of sports at that point. So we started buying. They had like these large address lists you could buy from all genres and just started buying those. And then we're sending like hundreds a week for probably 10, 15, 20 years and just kept going and just kept moving forward. And now I kind of collect, like Ryan, a little bit of everything, sports, entertainment, history, you know, definitely got the bug and still have it going, you know, strong 30 years later.
Let me just go back and make sure I heard you correct. You set hundreds a week.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was basically me, my mom, and my father-in-law. So we were able to, you know, just kind of crank out letters. We'd have these big address books or lists or whatever else. And we would just write letters and write addresses and whatever else, and just, you know, kept sending them out, you know, every week. It was when I was at school. Sometimes I would be sitting there writing letters instead of like paying attention in class. It just got to be one of those things.
Yeah. That's so cool. That's so cool. How about you, Chad?
Well, I did collect sports cards in the 80s. I'm actually doing a sports card 1987 Topps mailing thing now project. When I started going to a couple of sci-fi conventions in the late 90s, and then I went into residency, and, you know, besides not having money, there was some downtime, and then I discovered autographs. I think Rebel Scum was kind of the early days, was the first, you know, in Star Wars, and then it just expanded. I would write to whoever, you know, World War II famous veterans, to certain actors that, you know, hey, I'm going to write to Phyllis Diller. The only thing I know from Phyllis Diller was Scooby-Doo cartoons reruns, you know, and then it became like Seinfeld actors. And so it just, you know, the web, as soon as the web exploded, it just kind of became a really good resource for things. I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So mostly Star Wars, but, you know, now that's kind of eased up a little bit. So now I'm just kind of, I don't have any time now, but I'm just working on an 87 Topps project. I think COVID's lent itself to that. So,
yep. I have found that COVID, mm-hmm. COVID, and again, we can get in this a little bit. COVID was an interesting season because we all had downtime, but at the same time, who knows if people would answer or open things in the mail during a pandemic and sign and return. So it was a gamble time, but it didn't seem like too many people stopped because of it. But so again, anybody who's checking this out through the mail, TTM is through the mail autographs. It's usually a free or low cost way to add to your collection. And it's a lot of fun. It's addicting. Makes mail fun again. And I'm sure we can come up with a bunch of reasons. So I just want to kind of start. What are some reasons that you guys enjoy through the mail? What do you enjoy about TTM collecting?
I'll go first. So, I mean, I'll say one thing is that for literally the last 30 years, I love going to the mailbox. I actually get mad at my family if they go get the mail without me, because I want to be the one to open and take out the mail and look for like the little white self-addressed stamped envelopes to come back and how many I have on that day. I also like now, you know, in the 90s and early 2000s, a little different. I mean, there were a lot more people signing, bigger names, I think, that were signing. Now there's a little more involved in it to try to get certain kind of names, or, you know, like I do a lot of, you know, outside research to try to get people who might not normally sign, or try other little things here and there. So there's a little bit of kind of playing the game to see if there's a way to get autographs. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't sit here and be like, oh, you know, I have cancer, please, you know, sign my stuff. But like, you know, trying to research, maybe sending to venues or, you know, packaging that might appeal, or, you know, little things here and there, and just to kind of see what works. So, you know, that kind of keeps it a little more interesting also.
For sure. How about you guys?
All right.
What do you enjoy about through the mail?
I started when, let me think. To say about living in South Florida in the 80s, I started collecting sports. There was only three things. So there was not. So I was looking for different avenues to get baseball and football players at that time. So I would start cards at the time and went from there. Over time, I've done some movie and even some people. So it's, and that's, I guess, how that's as far as I can, as far as doing through the mail.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the thrill of getting the mail and seeing that the reward for the payoff of all the time that you put in is a big deal. You know, I was living on the East Coast, but I wasn't going to New York City. I wasn't chasing autographs in LA. You know, Omaha hasn't become the haven of celebrities yet. You know, once the polar ice caps melt, I'm sure everyone will move closer. But yeah, so I mean, through the mails, that is the ability to get things cheaply that you might want, and even some rarities that I'm sure we'll talk about too. But yeah, it's just the thrill of, oh my God, I got eight today. It's awesome, you know, and just cool. All that work got paid off there. So
absolutely,
it's way better than bills.
Yeah, I think part of it for me, it's kind of like Carl was saying, it's the hunt, it's tracking down the address, it's figuring out how to get that information. And then it's almost like, how much of a stalker can you become without getting arrested? And I've certainly had people, how did you get my address? And, you know, the internet is very helpful with that. I do enjoy the work it takes to find that information, but it also gets you access to guys and girls who may not do conventions. And kind of like you were saying, Chad, not everybody comes to Orlando. So a lot of people do for vacations, but I'm not in the in crowd. I don't know airport schedules. I don't know all that stuff. And so my best chance of getting some of these guys is through the mail. So, yeah. All right. So let's start talking the how to's here. When you guys are sending things to get signed through the mail, what do you send to get signed?
I'll start. I mean, back then it was index cards, and if I could find some photos. Nowadays, I try to get original art with some comic artists. So I'll send blank comic books and I'll things like that. When I got a little more bold, if I was able to contact the celebrity or whoever directly, you know, and they email me back, can I send a figure or something like that? Yes, great. And if they allow it, then I'll do that. I haven't sent anything bold that I wasn't sure I was going to get back, like maybe a baseball or two, yeah, if I could find photos, it's all really what you want. I'm scared to do a full size poster. I've not done that yet.
I haven't done that either.
I stopped, but I was doing some like Atari 2600 video game creators. So I would send the cartridge off. Those are cheap. You can get those for like $3 somewhere. So I don't mind losing a couple things that are cheap if that's the case. But yeah.
How about you, Ryan? What do you typically do?
Cards and photos. I've done a few items that I call a little risky, but I've also sent items with permission before I sent those more risky items. I have a Boba Fett piece that's signed with anybody that had to do with Boba Fett. And Cindy Doigbetter, I found her email and I sent her email and we correspond. And that would be like a call on the high end. For some reason, I want to say but I can't think of it off the top of my head. So, but I mean, basically photos and cards are what I do. I usually don't do anything because I'm looking by 14. And so as far as some people get some good correspondence, I could tell you the story of Bobby Thompson. I know this is more sports related. He's obviously known for hitting the home run off of Ralph Branca in 1951, I think, or something, to go to the World Cup. Now, with that being said, I had sent him over the first time on Branca, and there was a story because when I met Ralph Branca, he told me that they were stealing stuff, and I have relayed that as part of my notes. He said, he responded saying, yes, we were known for stealing, but if you looked at my at bats, then I hit him, knew how to hit him. You know, I thought was a pretty good response along with the honor. So, you know, yeah. Part of the interaction response back makes it even that much sweeter.
Yeah. How about you, Ryan? What do you send?
Everything from photos to full size posters to mini basketballs, t-shirts, whatever I can, whatever I have with that person. If I find out, especially last minute, I'll take a chance. I'm at the point now where it's more like swing for the fences with a lot of these people. So my returns aren't, it used to be a lot higher, but I'm only getting like maybe 10% of what I send out. I'll get something back, but it's usually something good if I do.
Cool. Yeah, it's, for me, it started out with cards, and for the most part, I still do get cards done a lot of the time. But then I started getting into photos. I got the 8x10 bug, and I'm regretting going down that rabbit hole. And I think the general rule is that you don't want to send something that you would be devastated if it didn't come back. And I know that I've had, you know, it's that fine line for me because you don't want to lose it, but at the same time, no risk, no reward. And I've certainly sent pre-signed items that unfortunately have never come back. And that's always a kick to the stomach. But at the same time, I've sent pre-signed items that got completed. And I'm just beyond, I'm over the moon with how they came out. So it's always tough. But speaking of photos, I know a lot of people ask this question. How do you get photos printed that you're going to send through the mail?
I'm going to talk about the early days a bit before there were certain ways. You know, I'm going to say 2005, you know, for Star Wars, official picks started. You were able to get those. Now there's unsigned photos are worth millions, apparently, because of the seal. But that's another story. Blows my mind. You could find some websites, you know, there's like moviestore.com for a while. There were some other ones. And occasionally you can find a high resolution one and just get it printed. That's getting a little harder to do. And I haven't done that in a long time. So I mean, I'm just saying back then it was a lot harder to get what you wanted to get signed. You'd have to settle for whatever is out there. I'm not into studio pictures of actors. I like the scene for a particular movie or whatever, but you know, sometimes that's all they had was studio signed things. But that was the old days. Now it's a little easier, I think. But you know, people that still do it can comment, of course.
I'll just go even a little older than that. When I was doing it in the mid and late 90s, there really wasn't almost anything available. It's kind of pre-ish internet. I would do things like scan the Sports Illustrated cover, then print it out on like my home printer and like cheap, like whatever photo paper that was available. And the scanners weren't very good. So then I'd enlarge it. So basically this big pixelated blob of a person from like their, and I still have those in like binder somewhere and they look absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, once the internet kind of became bigger and there were companies that started coming out and doing things, it did become easier. I have to say also, once it became expensive with the amount I was sending out, I just, you know, I tend to stay away from the photos so much, just for me, but now at this point, if there's a specific one that I want, usually you can find some image on the internet and print it out. Or there are a lot of people who sell on eBay. you can usually find for, you know, if you're willing to spend a little more, $4 or $5, and you know it's professional and you can kind of pick your stuff, you know, there's stuff out there. But I don't know. It's, you know, unless you know for certain the person signed in the photos, I personally try to stay away from that a little bit.
Yeah, because even at first class, it's give or take, it's $4 there, $4 back. Plus printing photos is about $4 or $5, depending on where you do it, unless you do it at home. If you buy them on eBay, like some of those press kit photos are great, but those are not necessarily cheap either. So photos can be tough. Again, that's why I like trading cards. I can spend maybe a couple dollars on a trading card, and you know, you got something nice, you got something licensed, and postage is stupid cheap.
I know. I had in a mall, it was a photo shop. I'm not a photo shop, a photo framing shop, but they sold celebrity photos along with posters. So I would buy them. It wasn't always a guarantee because you didn't know. Like, I'll give an example. Eddie Murphy was in the man for filming The Holy Man, and we found out where the stores were set up. So once I found that, I went into that store and I was able to get a Beverly Hills Cop. And I did end up getting an autograph. But at the same point, you know, it's kind of like, is this going to happen or not? You don't know. And being in the mall, I was charging like $8 a photo. We're talking like mid to late 90s, 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tough because I can't remember. I think maybe it was you, Chad, who mentioned Official Picks. They were selling Star Wars photos. Then Topps held the license for a while, but now, so a lot of these movies to find licensed photos that you can purchase, that is tough. And now at the same time, for anybody who maybe used to download them off the internet and send them to places to print, it's getting challenging. Places aren't printing them because of copyright. And we see people cracking down on that. So photos is getting more and more difficult to get printed and sent through the mail. How about this question? When you guys send stuff in the mail, how many items do you send? Do you have a rule about how many things you'll send at one time?
I generally don't send 2 or 3. I've gotten to the point where recently I included either like a donation as part of the stuff, but the people feel like they're being taken, obviously, whether it's something like a $10 gift card or something like that, or you know, something just to show a sign of appreciation.
Yeah.
I've always only sent like at most 2 or 3 items, you know, for the same, even for the people who you know sign, I think there's still a sign of respect there. And I think the fact that they might be willing to sign 10 or 15 or 20 doesn't change that. But I know some people don't feel that way. I will note that, you know, one thing I think is nice is I usually only send like a couple items, but I might ask them to send something extra back. So maybe if they could sign a business card and send it back, or you know, a Supreme Court card for Supreme Court justices or something like that, you know, whatever. So I feel like, you know, if you want to try to get something a little extra, I've always found that to be kind of a better way of doing that is kind of say something you might have handy that they are happy to send back out, or even like a small photo or whatever else. But yeah, I don't want to go over 2 or 3. I think it's definitely a respect issue in my mind.
Sure.
For me, it depends on like what level of a star they are. Like they said, maybe 2 or 3 at the most. And I usually tell them or ask them, you know, pick whichever one, because maybe there's a couple photos here and I couldn't decide which one I like the best. Pick whichever one you like the best and either keep the rest, just chuck it, do whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
Two or three is a good one, but
it's a pet peeve that when I see the people that will have like 10 of them that they send, and it ruins it for everyone else.
Yeah, and if it's 2 or 3, it's usually something like different photos, not the same. I think that's a red flag. We start like 3 of the same photo. And then, you know, if they sign well, maybe I'll revisit them 6, 7, 8 months later with something else. You know, James Earl Jones used to be one of those good ones where you could send one and then maybe come back a little while later. And, you know, I feel like they keep a secret tab of whoever wrote them. And you know, then they'll send something, but hey, you wrote to me, I'm not going to send one to, you know, there's this little secret notebook.
I mean, I'll note that over the years, I've definitely had situations where if I sent someone, I know, for example, Stephen King used to keep track very closely of who was sending him stuff to get autographed. And he'd be like, oh, you sent me a copy of this book on this day and then on this day. So I'm signing this one and then I'm not signing anymore.
Yeah. People are aware that the autograph market is hot and they, for the most part, want to accommodate their fans, but don't want to be taken advantage of. And so, like you were saying, Chad, if you send multiple, I think 2 to 3 is probably about right. And when you send the same exact image, which some people do, like that, it's insane to me that people will do that. And, you know, it people feel like they're being taken advantage of. And because of, and we know because of that, so many, at least in the Star Wars world, have stopped signing through the mail. Steve Bloom was one of them who had said he would get, some people sent 8 to 10 items per request, and he just got burnt out on that.
And that was the problem. It was, I think there are people who would sign the 8 or 10, I think it becomes cumulative after a while. So like the first couple times, whatever, but I think it gets to a point where they just say, this is too much overall and too many people. So even if they sign a few times, which is the justification people use, it's more because of what it becomes, and eventually they stop signing, not for that like one specific request.
Yeah. All right. So a couple of items that you have, your purchase. I mean, we got Ryan sending t-shirts. We've got, you know, a little bit of everything, but no more than 2 or 3. Some Paul was saying he sends a fee sometimes. I'll do that too sometimes. And I think that's always appreciated. But how else? Let's talk about the, okay, because this is the question I get all the time. And so maybe you guys can help me do it, answer it a little bit more clearly. How do you package your items? Like, what does your through the mail package look like? So you've got a couple of 2 or 3 items, and what else?
Letter of request, top loader for photo, okay. And you know, I ship it if I'm shipping it out like a consignment, basically cardboard on the sides of the top loader for photo in it. So I mean, it's nothing different than shipping out consignments.
You're a gutsy man sending a top loader. I've seen. Yeah. I get scared. I've seen too many people get the top loader signed.
I've had that happen. I try to cut out spots with areas for the loader. Not always, but once Barky Anderson did that, and I sent him back without it, and he's sending the letter. You know, that's an example of sports. I guess you could think that happens. I learned from that.
Yeah.
And then top loaders add to postage. And so if I didn't feel like calculating postage, I would just, you know, the smaller envelope got this much, the bigger one with this many stamps, and then I could just crank them out all at once. And, you know, and what I would do is if I would do the self-addressed stamped envelope, the letter, the item, and then if I would, you know, $5-$10, whatever it is, I would put a paperclip on it. And sometimes there are a couple of paperclip marks on the edge of the photo. I'm not one to be super minty mint. I know there are some collectors out there that love the, you know, they need that super mint photo, but I'm okay with that. And so I'd feel like if they don't see the $10, they won't send it back. Oh, it's in the bottom of the envelope. And, you know, so that's why I like to paperclip them together.
But. Yep.
I try to keep it as simple. You know, the way I look at it is that I want that person who's signing for me to have to do as little work as humanly possible in order to send it back. I feel that gives it at least a slightly better chance. So I don't do as many photos, but cards and 3x5s, honestly, I just have that, the letter, the self-addressed stamped envelope, and, you know, that's it. And usually it's not, I mean, listen, I get back stuff that's bent or whatever else sometimes. But at the end of the day, you know, I want them to be able to open it, look at it. It's one of the reasons I also don't write like 8-page letters is, you know, most people, I feel I want a letter that's enough so they could see I took some time, but not so much that they have to sit there for 2 days to read it. But the general theme for me is make it as simple as possible. So I try not to put in, honestly, any top loaders or any of that stuff. If I'm sending something that might be a little more expensive, like I've sent cards, like a 60 tops Johnny Bench to get signed by the other player on it, or whatever else. I may put it in a top loader or whatever, but that's kind of the exception as opposed to the norm. But again, at the end of the day, I try to keep it really simple. And honestly, I find the self-addressed stamped envelope plus the letter, whatever else, well, at least going there, give it a pretty, you know, at least a decent amount of protection, at least something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you guys. If it's a card, I'll use a plain white envelope and I'll put a stamp with my return address. I fold it up so it fits in there. I put the letter, put the card. Maybe I'll put a note card in there, but let's be honest. People put the note card in there and they say it's to protect the card. That you're hoping that they get signed. That's what you're doing. And so, you know, every once in a while I'll do that. The bigger ones, so I use, when it comes to like a photos, 8x10s, I use the rigid cardboard 8x10 mailers. And then I have another envelope that's slightly bigger. So I just slide it all in there, mark it up, and I send it out. So it's really not that hard. But I would say the key, and maybe you guys have some advice on this, is how do you do the return shipping? How do you know what it's going to cost?
I know me, I put the same amount that I paid going there for. I have done where I've done printed from home, where it's the priority and the state of the concept, but I haven't had anything returned from them where it hasn't worked.
Okay. So using the same amount it takes to get there to get it back. That's an easy, pretty good philosophy.
Yes. So, because I usually go before using Piper, which is recent, I went to the automated machine because the clerk would always know we can't do that.
Okay. Any other advice there?
I mean, I think the biggest issue I've always had there, even though, and I think this goes to all of kind of through the mail collecting, is that there's sometimes where it's just going to take longer to come back, and the postage costs definitely go up more quickly than they used to. So for the one going, I'm not usually that concerned about, but I always kind of assume for the coming back, I try to assume what it's going to be maybe 6 months or a year from now, and try to add a few extra cents here and there to try to anticipate that, just so it's not something I have to deal with. I also just try to, I really don't use the printed home postage for that. I just put on my stamps. I know that costs a little extra and it can be a little bit of a pain to have to sit there putting on 3, 4, 5, 6 stamps. But I feel like at the end of the day, one, it doesn't have a number on it. So, you know, I think there's less of a chance of the post office going there and literally counting how much out, you know, 3, 4, 5 stamps are. If you use forever stamps, they kind of go up also as you go. So you don't run into those issues if by some chance it takes a little more than 6 months or a year, which is not uncommon with some people. I mean, I often get stuff back, could be like a year or two later. So that's kind of how I do it with the return, just to try to make sure that it's going to hopefully give the best chance of getting back to me.
Going back on the mailers, we couldn't find mailers. I didn't know how to get them for a long time. So I just spent my time cutting up cardboard boxes and, you know, that's the only way I could do it. I always see these nice clear-ish, you know, PVC or whatever, you know, material. I'm like, where do people get these things? I could never find them for the longest time. And now I don't do it as much. So, but yeah.
Yeah. How about those? Do you guys send pens?
Yes. I learned the hard way. I've seen too many ballpoints on photos with John up on them. You know, some people find it, but it's something that I've learned I with.
Okay.
So I've bought Sharpies and quantities. So usually I use Sharpie on the track. Figure out which is used for silver because I've seen too many issues with silver.
Yeah, I mean, again, for, you know, 99% of the time, I do not send a pen. But again, most of the time, I'm sending a 3x5 card or a sports trading card. But I'll give you an example. Like I had a West Wing 11x14 I was sending to Martin Sheen, who's a really good signer, through the mail, but they were all in blue Sharpie, and I really wanted to make sure that he would sign in blue Sharpie also. So I sent a pen in that situation. But for the most like garden variety, I won't. But, you know, listen, there's some people who are really particular about what they want their autographs to look like. And yeah, if you are one of those people who feels that way, it's going to significantly make you feel better for it to be signed a certain way in a certain pen. I would definitely recommend sending that pen.
This is where I have my beef. Y'all, you guys are all right. And so I was sending a photo to Annie Potts. And anybody who knows, I vented about my frustrations with sending to Annie Potts through the mail, because she did. I sent a Toy Story DVD cover that I had started. Don Rickles was on there. Thought, oh, I'll add her. She's a great signer. Never saw it again. And then I've sent multiple, and I can never get her to respond. And so the last time I sent 2 8x10s, they were darker. So I sent a metallic Sharpie to Annie Potts, and she signed with a black Sharpie in a dark spot. So the one time I get her to respond, she hits me with the dark ink in the dark spot, even though I sent a pen. So I don't bother with the pens anymore.
Well, that's though, I think that goes back though to what you send to them. I think the more stuff you send to them, there's a greater perception that you might be a dealer or you're going to resell or whatever else. So if you look like you have a professional operation going, I think there is that risk that someone is not going to go out of their way to, you know, give you the best possible thing, where if you keep it as bare bones as possible, you know, they'll at least hopefully think you're more of a fan. Like that situation, I'm not saying she's right or wrong, but I mean, I could see from the outside her saying, wow, this guy, you know, knows exactly what images he wants, knows where he wants it signed, is sending me the pen. I don't know if he sent it like a top loader or something, or whatever else. Maybe she was like, you know, I mean, Annie Potts probably has access to eBay. She knows people are selling her autographs on eBay. Nope. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I can get it. I can understand the outside view from them.
I think that's a good point. Like, I don't come across, I don't mark my photos. I don't ask for inscriptions. I don't do anything like that, because I feel like when we're sending, we're asking them to do a favor for us. I don't feel like we get to dictate so much what they're doing for us. But all I was doing was sending a pen that would look fine no matter where it got signed. And, you know, but to be fair, she signed it with black ink in a dark spot. I'm not selling it. I'm totally cool to keep it and all that. But it's just kind of more like that's just my luck. That is just my luck. So I don't bother with them.
So to digress a little on the topic of whether they think you're a dealer or not, you know, the last paragraph in my letter is, by the way, I'm a collector. I'm not a dealer. Feel free to personalize it. You know, especially if you're like, you found the, you know, you're the first one to find the address online and you're getting that unique signature. So, you know, and the majority of the time I'd say, I don't know, it feels like 40% will personalize, the rest will just sign it. But, you know, but unless it's like a multi-signed item, you know, and you want it very particular. But I always explain that in the letter, you know, so.
All right. Speaking of letters, do you guys handwrite or do you type it? Because I've heard some diehard typers and I've heard diehard handwriters.
So first day of medical school is how to mess up your handwriting. So my handwriting sucks. I type it.
You know, I try to say that I know this is about like a how-to, but I think at the end of the day, there has to, you know, you kind of use, you know, depends on the situation. And I think context matters. I mean, there's sometimes if I'm getting someone who honestly, I have no, you know, I'm fine with, but I need them to like fill a gap in a set or whatever, and I know that they sign perfectly and I don't really care even what it ends up looking like, I'll just go the typed route. I know that maybe that sounds bad, I don't know, but you know, there's just so many hours in the day. But if I'm like really trying for someone who I really care a lot about, or for a specific set I'm working on and I've never been able to get them, I really do try to put together a handwritten, heartfelt, specific letter to again, hopefully increase the odds that they'll actually read it and respond to me. So I think a lot of times, again, it does kind of depend on the scenario.
I've generally typed my letter, handwriting is horrible. So I have done a few where I've written it, but overall, because of my handwriting, we decided it's better off if I just typed a letter.
I'm with you. I generally go ahead, Ryan. Sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say I've done it either way. It really, it just depends on if I'm sending out a lot of them or not, because it gets tedious to sit there and write out like a stack of letters by hand. Sometimes I'll type it, but and I can tell you, like, as far as you were talking about mailing stuff out, that for anything 3D, I found out like a kind of a hack is buy the craft paper and just stick it in your box to come back, put a label on there, and just put the craft paper, wrap it like a present, and just write the address over top of it. All they got to do is unwrap it then, and then just everything's in the box already. Sign it, put it back in the box, send it back, and it makes it easy for them.
Hmm. That's good. Yeah, and I agree. Handwriting the letters is the worst part through the mail. I will literally, like right now, I have stacks of photos ready to go. I have all the mailer stuff ready to go. I print my postage at home and I send it out. That's all easy. It's the sitting down and it's the handwriting. I do handwrite probably 90% of the ones I send out. And it is the most tedious. And part of it, I will say, part of it is because I do try to make each one heartfelt. Like I don't go long, kind of like you were saying, Carl. I don't like to do multiple pages, but I will. Usually my format is, hey, thank you, huge fan, next paragraph, here's the films or what you've been working on that I absolutely love, here's why, and would you mind, I mean, it's a basic format, but I usually handwrite it, I would say 90% of the time. It is much easier to type them though, so, but either way, whether you type it or handwrite, it is hard, or not hard, but tedious, so it's just exhausting. One of the questions I had that I didn't ask is when we're talking about postage, how do you guys determine international postage? So if you're living in the US and you're sending to the UK, how do you guys work that part?
I've bought UK envelopes. I've only done about two or three of them and I've had success. I asked a few of my UK counterparts that I knew as far as how much to expect postage and got that down. That's all I can really say. I mean, I've only done Star Wars people, Paul Brook, and Alan Harris, positive responses.
I mean, it's funny, when I was really into, when I was sending a lot of sports stuff out, there are obviously a bunch of Canadian teams and whatever else. And I learned at that point that Canada basically had the equivalent of the US, forever international stamp. And you could actually order them directly from the Canadian post office and it was free shipping. And I bought so many back then that I actually still use them and it's wonderful. But you know, the US has that kind of, I don't even know what to call it, like a forever first class international stamp. So, I mean, I think that's the most important thing for sending. For coming back, again, some countries have those stamps. Sometimes you can get them from the post office. Sometimes you can get them from eBay or whatever else. Honestly, what I usually do is I throw in a few extra bucks for postage. I try to use, they had international reply coupons at one point. I don't think those really worked or were very helpful. I think at the end of the day, they probably just prefer cash if they're going to do it anyway. I think a lot of the international people, if they're signing autographs, kind of know that, you know, the US probably has a large amount of people who are going to be sending to them. So kind of know how to get the stuff back. So I always just throw in a few extra bucks. I think makes the most sense. I will say at this point, I'm getting ready to send out a Dalai Lama and I'm trying to figure out, I'm still trying to figure out the best way, and I'm sending a couple of 8x10s. I'm trying to figure out the best way to not spend $35 on postage, but also not have it destroyed on the way there and back.
Yeah.
I'm still even working on that issue right now.
Yeah, and you assume like by sending, especially the Star Wars actors, like, hey, here's some cash. Maybe you'll come over to a convention someday. Now here's some spending money, you know. So
yeah,
it seemed to work.
That was the same. I've always wondered that because obviously I don't have easy access to pounds, paper money from overseas. And so here I am sending them American money, but I'm like, they can't, like that just, that's annoying. And so I'm with you. One of the things I found is that in some of the, there's Facebook groups for through the mail. There's a Star Wars one and there's some general ones. And in there, a lot of the times they will have postage exchanges. So people in the different countries that you're looking to send, they will, who live there, they will buy that postage for you and they'll send it to you, or sometimes they'll trade it to you for postage from where you live. That tends to go pretty well. I used to get all my UK stamps there. And then like Carl was saying, that the United States Global Forever stamp, is that is where it is at.
Yeah, like Canadian is basically any of the major cities, they'll use American money. So I usually just like sneak $5 in there with it or something to come back. But anything overseas, I don't really like to send anything like you said, that's very valuable or anything. And a lot of times I realize they're not going to use our money and it's just a pain in the butt for them to go and try and exchange it. So I'll just ask nicely if they'd be able to ship it back and take my chances. I mean, I rarely send overseas.
You know, maybe it's my American centric way, but I just always felt like they can use American money anywhere. Maybe I'm just not thinking about it enough, but I figured like, you can use your American money and whatever for like the tourist use and whatever else. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, no. And then I think to what Paul said earlier too, in this hobby, it's all about relationships. And yeah, the autograph part is fun and all that, but it's the building the relationships. And I am blessed to have some really good friends that live in different places all around the world. And so anytime I have questions about how do I do this, they will help me. Or sometimes I will send to them and I'll use their address as a return address. And so it just makes things a little bit easier. Or they'll send for me. I've done that for some of my friends too, where I'll write the letter, I'll send everything for them in the States and get it back and then ship it to them. So make friends and be a good person. And then that'll come to benefit you too. How about finding where to mail things? How do you guys go about that?
So I remember, you know, again, the Rebel Scum days were good when they had the Star Wars addresses. And then there's some paid services, which are pretty cheap. I think everyone knows Star Tiger. Forget what it used to be called. I know it's Star something. I can't remember. And then fanmail.biz was another one that was good for a while with a lot of free stuff. But if there's something unique, what I'll do, you know, the sleuthing part is I'll go to like Wikipedia and I'll say, hey, where do they maybe live? Where do they grow up? And then I'll go to whitepages.com and it's all free addresses. And, you know, there's a good chance I'm going to find the address for a lot of these people, especially secondary characters. You know, I'm kind of pondering to send out to Jake Lloyd. There's a good address out there, but I kind of don't want to for, you know, that's another topic altogether. But I haven't had any returns where it's like, oh no, you got the wrong person. You know, it probably just doesn't come back. But those are some good free and or cheap, you know, ways to get some addresses. I know Carl was back in the day with the books and the magazines of addresses that probably some of them are outdated by the time you buy the book.
You know? It's funny. I mean, there's a guy, there are a whole bunch of different ones. A lot of them would give updates. I actually still think I have some of like the photocopied ones from like 15 years ago sitting, you know, in case I need an address and maybe it's still good. But everything Chad said was right. I mean, the other thing is it just depends how advanced you want to go. There are a couple of like, again, not stalking, but there are ones that you could pay kind of, the paid white pages types ones that I use that, you know, get a lot of information from. It's where I get, you know, where I do a lot of my sleuthing. And again, I don't go to their houses or anything, so I don't feel like I'm doing anything bad there. But you know, again, it just depends how much effort and if you want to spend a little extra money, but they're, you know, might be like $40 or $50 for 6 months. But, you know, I've gotten a lot of good stuff back through the mail from people because some people just don't have their addresses out there. It's not even about them not willing to sign or anything. It's just that they don't get into the various databases or whatever else. So that's also another option. It just depends how advanced you want to go. But these days between Star Tiger and the internet and whatever, I mean, there are a lot of and Facebook pages. There are a lot of good resources for addresses that you can get pretty free and start out.
Yeah, a lot of concerts and stuff like that. All you have to do is go to an artist's website and look and see where they're going to be performing. Shoot them a quick email at that venue and ask them if they'll pass it on for you. And sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no. But that's like I'll include a marker like if I send someplace where they're going to go like just for one day maybe, but it's not something like I usually do. Like if I know like it's a popular artist and they're going to have like a meet and greet there and they're going to have a bunch of markers, then I'm not going to bother with it. But if it's something that, you know, that like some, I don't know, some actor or something is given like a lecture or something somewhere, then I'll send a marker with it because I know they're not going to have access to it. But a lot of that you can just find right on their website.
The venue option was something I came to more recently. I just had never honestly really thought that much about before. It was one of those things that I wish I had thought about earlier when I, in my collecting world, I think I would have gotten a lot more good stuff back. But I mean, some of the venue stuff seems to be very good. I actually sent a couple of John Williams to his recent thing at the Hollywood Bowl. I have no reason to believe I'm going to get those back, but I figured, you know, it's worth a shot. Who knows?
Yeah.
My best one was Will Ferrell when he was doing the George Bush play. I think he was doing that for like 2 months, and I heard a couple. I'm like, oh, I'm doing it. So I sent like a DVD cover, and yeah, it was fantastic. So.
And he's hard. He's tough to get.
Mm-hmm. That's what I hear.
So, yeah, I think for people who are checking this out and again are newer, there's, you know, through the mail to the homes, but then the other one's called Via Venue. And that is, if you know where they're going to be, you can figure out, a lot of people on Broadway will sign, and they may not sign anywhere else, but while they're on Broadway, they'll take the moment and sign. I know Uma Thurman was doing it for a long time. And Tom Hiddleston and a lot of other big names will sign when they're in Broadway, and that stuff you can just research with a quick Google search. And there's a lot of production. I can't remember the name of it. There's a production list that you can pay into as well. And they'll send you, here's the filming, here's all the production addresses for everything going on. So if you know that someone is working on something, you can try to send it to their set. That's how I got Paul Rudd this last time through the mail. Was I knew he was working on a show. And so rolled the dice and gambled and sent some photos, and it paid off. So Via Venue, it's probably one of the better ways to try.
Yeah, with Broadway, I mean, they're doing 8 shows a week, so they have nothing else to do really in between. So I think that's a good chance for them to focus on that. So,
yep.
I say just on the Broadway stuff also, like sometimes though with the bigger names doing it for a limited time, or it's a limited time play or whatever. So you also want to make sure that you do it and kind of get it out there, I think, sooner rather than later. I think there's usually, my understanding is usually they're more willing to sign towards the beginning or when they're still in, you know, practicing or rehearsal, right, as opposed to like the last night of the play.
Yeah, and I think that's smart too, because a lot of them will do it if it's the first few, and then if they feel like too many, they're getting too much, and they'll shut it down. So it's always good to be the early worm or early bird getting the worm. However, I know some will also collect it all and then sign them all after the show. So after the show ends. So you never know, but it's always best to send early.
Maybe I'm just one thing, like you see like the big names, as soon as someone says, oh, I got this name back, you know, 2,000 people send it like next day. And you know, at that point, it's pretty much going to be shut down pretty quickly.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. All right. So I'm going to shift gears slightly. I would love to hear you guys talk about your biggest pet peeves when it comes to through the mail. And it may not necessarily have anything to do with how you guys send and in the process, but just through the mail collecting in general, what are some of your biggest TTM pet peeves?
I'll just say the one with the Via Venue. People post the address like, oh, I got this. Here's the address the day it's over. There used to be a guy in Rebel Scum that used to do that. I'm like, why do you keep doing that? You know, you're not even giving us a chance. And I don't know if he's being sinister at the point, but it's like, oh, here's the address. Oh, by the way, the movie's done. I just wanted to show it to you. Here's the address. So that's my one, but you can go with the rest. Yeah. So.
Do you guys expect someone to share an address if they post a success?
I don't think it's a good one. I think it's just one of those things where be polite about it. You can be like, I prefer not to do it, you know, or PM me privately. Maybe you find something where you trade that he has and, you know, do like a trade pass for something that's not so
I think it's a tough area because, generally I'm very helpful. I'll give anyone any information or whatever. But at the same time, like, you do a lot of work and you find someone. It's not even about me getting them. It's like, you really don't want them to get ruined because there are some people who are popular enough that, you know, if that address, if you put that address out there, it's done. No one's ever going to get them signed again. And, you know, based on those situations, I kind of, I'll tell someone in like, you know, in a PM or something along those lines, but I don't usually post in those situations because, you know, I just don't want the person to get ruined. And I don't know if that's selfish or not. It's one of those things I've always kind of struggled with. And I don't know that I've even gotten to that point that I know the answer, but that's where it gets difficult for me, honestly.
Yeah.
I try to share it, but a lot of people, I will tell them, like, if it's a address, I have to do a lot of research to get that, you know, I'm not, tell them in my letter that I'm not going to give it out because, you know, I respect their privacy and that kind of thing. And that I won't share it in that situation, but usually, you know, I will, as long as I know you're a fan and not just like we were talking about earlier, somebody who just wants to send out 10 things, flip 9 of them and keep one, you know.
I guess maybe that's I'll kind of share it with people if they ask me for it, but I usually won't post it out for the whole entire world to see. I guess maybe that's my line.
I see here, you guys, maybe you can call me a diva. And I'm helpful to a level, but at the same time, like, I do pay a monthly subscription for Star Tiger. So I'm paying money to get addresses. There are times, kind of like you said, Ryan, where I'm not joking. I have put in hours to try to find and track down and confirm an address. And I'm searching the deepest, darkest corners of the internet to get some of these addresses sometimes. And I put in a lot of work to get that. And I feel like there are people who I'm glad to help, especially if I know they're going to help me. But then there are just so many people who, the moment I post something, they're like, oh, address? Like, not even like, oh, great. That's a great shot. Great image. Great autograph. Hey, do you mind? Would you please help? Like, it's just like people lose their manners. And that's one of my pet peeves is people can just be so, so selfish and unappreciative and can pretty much be freeloaders.
The sports Facebook autograph group will let you know that if you're asking for an address, and nope, you can go here and pay for it. You know, everybody pays, you know, it's a small fee, but yeah, the sports people will let you know, especially.
What other, do you guys have any other pet peeves?
I'll say this is a very random one, but every once in a while I will get a personalized letter back from the celebrity saying that they will not sign my item, then the letter will be signed. And I kind of appreciate that. And I'm like, couldn't you just sign the 3x5 card? You know, if you were going to like literally print out this letter and sign the letter, I mean, I still appreciate it. I get the autograph, so I guess that's good. But it's one of those things that has always kind of irritated me slightly.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. Go ahead.
I'm saying that was the only way I was able to get Steve Ditko, who, if you don't know, he co-created Spider-Man, and then he kind of became a recluse later on. And he writes back, and even though he didn't understand my letter, I still have this full Steve Ditko on the letter, and then he actually died like 2 weeks later. So I'm like, yeah, it's not a comic, which he wouldn't sign, but that's, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a signature.
So. Yeah. I can't remember who said it. Here's another one of mine, but I think it might have been you, Chad. Or maybe it was you, Carl, talking about writing the letters and sending it to people that you appreciate and you care for. And I love that, like sending through the mail requests to people that you actually admire and respect. What I can't handle is in some of these groups, people will post an autograph and they say, man, I've sent out so many of these. I can't even remember who this is. Can anybody identify the signature for me? I get so irritated with that you can't even remember who you sent to, and now you want us to tell you whose autograph that is.
I mean, I'll tell you, back in the day when I was sending out like a lot of requests, it became very difficult. And actually the way I did it is like basically was keeping track by put like a date on the back of the envelope and then write their name and the little thing on the back of the CC. Of course, that only helps if they actually return the item in your envelope that you sent to them. And so there are definitely times I got stuff back that I probably still don't know, you know, what it is. And the fact that I send to so many different areas. And just to give you an example, I do sign trading card sets, but I like to have every card done, even the checklist. But there are no pictures on the checklist. So I sent checklists out and there's still a couple that I've gotten back. But if they don't check off their name in the little thing, I don't necessarily know who they are. So, you know, sometimes it's a little, it happens. I guess I have some understanding of it that it's not always a negative thing, but I can also understand what you're saying.
Well, and I would say like the other thing is when they send the wrong images to people to get signed, they like in Star Wars, we'll see it all the time. They'll send the wrong characters to the wrong actor or actress. And that like, do a little bit at work. Just do that little bit of effort to make sure you're sending to the right person. That's not asking too much.
Or if somebody just asks like, who signs? They post in a lot of those groups, who signs through the mail? But they don't give you, like, send to whoever you're a fan of. You know, don't just send to anyone just to get something back because it ruins that for everyone else. And then you got to go down the rabbit hole of who sends secretarial or who sends like pre-pen, auto pen and all. You know, all that other stuff. It's who signs genuine and who you're a fan of. You have to do a little bit of research on your own, at least.
I will say that's kind of one of my little pet peeves. I think this is a very similar to issues when people talk about authentication. I mean, listen, there's some people that you kind of all know have secretaries or whatever signing. Some of them have been doing it since I was sending them to into the 90s. And you try to kind of tell them and they then get really like upset or offended or something along those lines. And you know, it's like just trying to help, but people can get really angry in that situation. It's always one of my pet peeves is like, we're not, you know, I'm not trying to take away your fun, but you know, this guy, you know, Dan Aykroyd, you know, he's, you know, not for the most part, not sending you back anything real from the last 25 or 30 years. And I guess there's maybe a little dispute about that, but I think it's kind of how it's been, what it's considered now, but yeah, it's pretty helpful. Don't want you to, you know, fake autographs if that's something you care about.
Yep. Okay, so let's talk about, I know we discussed a whole lot. Do you guys have any other, and then I want to ask you about returns that you've had. I want to know some of your favorite. I want to know maybe the longest you had to wait for one. I'm curious about that kind of stuff. But before we get there, are there any other pro tips that you would recommend for people who are trying this out?
Just do your research. You know, most people I think are nice on Facebook and the internet and stuff. You know, use this lovely video, if you will. But, you know, a lot of people give tips and help out on Facebook. I find it's a really great resource.
I would say be patient, but also, you know, try to be realistic. If you send to the 100 top stars in Hollywood and no one else, you're probably not going to get anything back. There's no problem trying for those people also, but maybe also go for those mid-range, lower level people who are more likely to sign and where you can grow your autograph collection. And, you know, don't get really disappointed if, you know, Tom Hanks isn't, you know, returning your, or whoever these people are, the bigger names, you know, they probably just get so much, it's impossible, but Keep pushing forward, but look for people that you like, that you want signed, but also, you know, you got to be a little bit realistic about it. And that way is the best way to actually get returns.
Yeah, like they said, expect to wait. You send something out. Sometimes it takes years before you get something back. Sometimes it's quick, but you're going to wait. And sometimes you forget you even signed to someone. It takes so long.
Just curious, do any of you know the longest you've waited for a return off the top of your head?
I know I have one for 3 years. When I got it, I was like, who is this? Because I wasn't expecting anything. And then I opened it up, like, oh, that's quite a surprise. Ricky Waters from the 49ers. It was funny because I saw him in person.
You said 3 years?
3 years.
Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. He appeared with the team played for Notre Dame. He played in the Orange Bowl, and I was at the Notre Dame Hotel the week of the Orange Bowl. He appeared there, and I was like, got something for him in the rail. I just got that. And then it showed up that year.
Wow.
Yeah, I think 3 years for me, or 4 years, was unexpected, like from a previous address that I stayed at. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, how long have I been waiting for some? I mean, you know, 15 years, but I don't keep track of those anymore.
Well, I'll say that I moved out, you know, moved away from my childhood house, I guess, in 2002. So there are definitely times where I wonder if, you know, there are ones that would have theoretically gotten back there that haven't gotten back to me. But within the year, I got back Jason Schmidt, who's a baseball player. I work on a 2007 Topps Heritage set as one of the sets, and I sent him out in 2010. And I got him back, I'd say about a year ago. Wow. So that's a good solid 10-year wait to get him back. And it was one of those situations where a lot of people got him around that time. So I'm guessing that he just, you know, maybe got bored and just went into a big box of mail or something and started signing, which, you know, actually happens more than you would expect. I think that's my longest one I can think of off the top of my head.
Some of these guys where they've actually done with their stuff in that time frame.
I'm convinced that I have many returns that are at my old address. And that's why I've just never seen them. And I always, you know, forward my mail, but it, you know, that only lasts for a year. And so I'm convinced that I probably have a dozen multiple year returns just at the wrong address and they get thrown away. That's what I tell myself, at least, because it's better than thinking that they didn't want to take the time to write back.
That's where all my signed Bill Murray's and Harold Ramis and all those, they're all just waiting for me someday in that address place in the sky.
Exactly. I think I've tried Bill 5 times at different addresses via venue when he was touring. No luck.
I got him earlier this year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That
was one of the ones I was going to share the address on. I'm sorry.
We're not going to go there right now.
Yeah.
But that's true. You got them. That's awesome. So what are some of your guys' favorite returns? Let's give people some hope here. So what are some of your best returns? What are some names that are possible? Like who should people be dreaming about, thinking about?
Well, I pulled out some, and I'm sticking more to Star Wars. I think, and I don't know. Oh, you mean, okay. So now you're saying continued. I'm going to go with my past.
Yeah, go for it.
Big successes. So, you know, Frank Oz used to sign through the mail for the longest time. You know, and I had one big one where I got three people or three photos. And yeah, somebody ruined it for everybody when they approached him one day and they said, oh yeah, I'm just going to put this on eBay anyway. And said, all right, that was it. That's what I heard. And so that's unfortunate. James Earl Jones is not signed, but these were huge for me. And I have quite a few James Earl Jones. And going to more of the unique where I actually had to search addresses, you know, I was very big into Star Wars video games. I'm sure we all are. I played X-Wing to death and TIE Fighter and all those flying simulators. So Lawrence Holland, the creator, he had to do a little bit of sleuthing. Everyone remembers this gem, Shadows of the Empire. I found the creator, was able to contact him, get it. Kyle Katarn, how come he didn't make it into any of the TV shows yet? But the actor that played him in the video games. And then I'll just do one more. But so everyone knows Doug Chang, and I collect original art. I threw in $60, and instead of the usual head sketch that everybody gets, I got a nice ditty here. And I tried it again during COVID, probably April 20. I sent in $100 this time, but I haven't gotten anything back. So, but I got from somebody else that I'm really excited about. So this is just a few little of my favorite kind of unique ones, but yeah.
Just curious, do you send cash or do you send a check?
Cash.
Smart. It's a risk, it's a gamble. That's what all this is, but I understand that. That comment is beautiful.
I love it. Yeah, thank you.
I should have thought to show and tell my stuff, man.
Yeah, hey. You got stuff behind you. We can, yeah. Does anyone, and I'm not a Funko guy by any, I mean, not even close, but does anyone actually like cut open the box, flatten it, and send it out? Has anyone done that? No. Okay.
Nope. I've only got two signed Funkos. Paul was with me when I got one of them. Now, I haven't done that yet. I would say it's not out of the question to do that. I would consider that.
I've done that with a couple of action figures. It's been successful, so yeah.
I would be scared with the paint pen.
That's true.
I pulled a few, and I think the point is these are ones that were from the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. But I think the point is that you never know what's going to happen 10, 15, 20 years down the road. So you don't know who's signing now, who might become a big name. So this is a Joe Biden from 1994.
Wow.
So he's like a random center in 1994. Who would have, who would have known that he would have become president down the road? These are, and I'm sorry if these are reversed. I don't know if you guys can see them right or not. And mm-hmm. I apologize if they're reversed. These are two Eddie Vedders that I got from him through the mail right after Pearl Jam started, a full name on the bottom and then the top personalized to me.
Wow.
And then this is a Tiger Woods that I got when he was just starting out back in, must have been 95, 90, I don't, somewhere around, it's very, very early signature. The point being is when I got these, like, I got Joe Biden in 1994, no one knew who, I mean, they knew who he was, but no one assumed he would ever be president. And Pearl Jam was still kind of before they were this epic, whatever group. And Tiger Woods was probably, 18, 17 at the top. And he's a big name, but he wasn't yet Tiger Woods. So I think one thing to keep in mind is just because whoever is at the top right now is, not signing, you can, especially if you do your research, you can kind of go out and get a lot of these different people. And then, down the road, you never know who's gonna, become the next big thing. And it's a really good way to grow your autograph collection over time.
Or the next big convict, some people, I had a Bill Cosby autograph, example.
I do have several Bill Cosby autographs, unfortunately. I don't know what to do with those. Right. Like some Kevin Spacey's, and no, there's more than OJ Simpson.
Yes, right. Yeah.
There's, yeah. I tend not to show those off very much.
Mm-hmm. You used to do that. Yeah, do that with sports, but now those price sports is going to become so expensive with the prospects. It's not even feasible now.
But it's funny. It's not through the mail, but I the Mike Trouts I have, he did a private signing when he was in the Arizona Fall League, and I got four Mike Trouts. They were, I think, $10 each for that private signing. And that's the kind of stuff you just gotta, you can get in early and then you get lucky. I mean, there are other people from, out at that point who, are worth zero. But again, it's. I really think the big thing about through the mail collecting is that it's an opportunity to really grow the collection, get a lot of stuff. And then, you end up getting lucky sometimes on who becomes big or who doesn't.
Yep. How about you, Ryan? Anything that you got through the mail that you cherish?
Oh, my bill. But I got Kevin Costner last year through the Yellowstone address. I got Alan Rickman and when he was at Broadway. So, over the years, like these guys, we got tons of them.
That's awesome. No, anyone in here do it early enough to get guys like Alec Guinness or Peter Cushing?
Well, so Alec Guinness was actually one of my first ones. It's on the wall, so I don't know, but I'm going to at least try. But this was one of my first, it's really kind of hard to see, but it's one of my first through the mail autographs. I wasn't a sports person, was Alec Guinness, and that's the one I put on my wall. Is kind of, you know,
I like first that, I put on the wall. I like how it's slabbed and then matted into the photo. It looks beautiful. I'm trying to think. And, go ahead.
The price for autographs has shot up since COVID. It's insane. I mean, I know I mentioned the unsigned official picks photos, and you know, and I'm like, oh, I wish I bought a million of them back then. And but you know, no one would see this coming. So I mean, I was able to purchase an Alec Guinness for $60, a Peter Cushing for $100. You know, and it's just now, unfortunately, it's shot up. Maybe that'll level off. Who knows? But I don't see that happening. So
I keep telling myself the balloon is going to burst, the bubble is going to pop, but I've been saying that for years now, so I'm way off on that. You know, I got a couple of names that I got that I'm really excited about. Mark Hamill is one, and I know that he used to be a really easy one back in the day, but I got him around the time of The Force Awakens, and so that was towards the tail end. So I'm very stoked about that. And Chad, I got him on comics. That's what I had at the time. That's what I sent. And so. I'm stoked about that.
That's cool. Yeah.
The first time I ever added Ernie Hudson to my Ghostbusters collection was through the mail. I was able to add him that way. So, I'm very excited about that. Man, I'm trying to think. I think Paul Rudd is the other one that I discussed already, that I was over the moon to get Paul Rudd, who's, I guess I was going to say, I guess you could say arguably the biggest name in Afterlife, after Bill, or maybe Dan, but to already have him, because when these guys do the Marvel stuff, now when they do conventions, you can't get their autograph for less than $200. So, you know, I was very happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, the Marvel people back years ago used to get, like, Chris Evans through the mail and a lot of guys like that, and now you don't have a chance.
Yeah. But I'll give everyone a hot tip. If you listen this long, you deserve it. So Carrie Coon, who is the mother in Afterlife, she was also in Marvel movies. She was also, you know, she's a big to-do. She signed on Broadway. And she's got a show that's about to hit back on Broadway. So do a little bit of homework, do a little bit of research. But if you're looking to add a big name for us Ghostbusters collectors and Marvel fans, she's a great one. She's great.
Very nice.
So there's my hot tip. I'm trying to think who I mean, Annie Potts does sign for most people. I'm just not one of them.
I'll send you one up.
Man, hey, Rick Moranis used to sign.
Oh, who's the guy? The name is just escaping me right now, but the guy who plays in the first Ghostbusters, who basically plays the bad guy who goes in and turns off protection grid.
William Atherton. Yes.
Yeah, he's actually a very good signer. He only signs one, but he's a very good signer from you know, in the Ghostbusters land. And he's still, I mean, I got him, I think, 3 or 4 months ago, which is also my favorite line in all of Ghostbusters. So that's why I did send him a photo and ask him if he would, you know, it was one of the few times I actually asked for an inscription, but he did not give it to me, but I figured it was worth a shot.
Yeah. You know, honestly, again, it goes back to doing your homework, like a lot of the names and the side characters from the original Ghostbusters film signed through the mail. And you just got to know who you're looking for. You got to, I would love to get that character, research who it is, and then find me. But I've had a lot of success. And then Tom and I are doing our best to uncover all the brute forces and the Stephen Friedlands and the Eldo Ray Esteses of the world, who are the unknown guys, and getting them to sign for the first time. So, but through the mail, it's where it's at. Anything else before we wrap up our time tonight? I'm very thankful for your guys' time and your input, but anything else that we should end with here?
I'll just say, have fun with it. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not free through the mail, but if it's kind of free, it's almost like playing the lottery a little bit. And I'd say, you know, it's an area where you don't have to worry about, oh, am I going to spend, you know, $700 on, you know, Robert Downey Jr. or whatever else. You send it out. If you get it back, great. If not, you're out, you know, a stamp and a couple of envelopes. So it's definitely an area where you can be creative and have some fun and do some things with it. It's just, I think that's what makes it so interesting, as opposed to just the straightforward, like, convention or, you know, private signings autograph area. You can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I want to say, take advantage of your resources and what you have around you. Like, I mean, the local movie theater here sells their posters for like $6 after they pull them off the rack. And I bought a bunch of them and sent them out, with things like that. I mean, if you have something that's been lying around, a magazine or something, and that you just never got around to throwing out for years or whatever, for the new people, you don't have to always go and buy something, you know, brand new. Or even if you do print them at home, who cares? If it's for your personal collection, you're the one that's going to keep it, and you're the one that has to be happy with it.
Don't collect for investment. That's the exactly. Thing. Yeah.
Yep. Collect what you like, man. That, you know, I think that's the best advice. Don't feel pressure to get something just because everyone's telling you should. Just
DVD
get what you
covers.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of DVD covers done because I didn't have anything else, but I have a bunch of DVDs that, you know, that I don't use anymore because of digital. And yeah, that's absolutely right. Be resourceful.
I got Annie Potts on a DVD cover, Ghostbusters.
That was a low blow. Right?
And she signed it in silver sharp.
She used my metallic man and his DVD cover. So, well, guys, again, thank you so much. You know, part of the reason why I love the Containment Unit is because of everybody in it and because of guys like you. So thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your information. And if anybody who's watching this, you have any questions, just put it in the group. I'm sure that any of the five of us and any others would love to just jump in and answer any questions that you may have. So hope you guys have a great night. Again, thank you, guys. And we'll catch up soon. Later.
Thanks, everyone.
Are you troubled by autograph forgeries online? Do you collect spores, molds, and Ghostbusters memorabilia? Have you or your family been looking for a safe place to go to add to your collection? If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Check out the Containment Unit on Facebook, Instagram, or visit us at ghostbustersautographs.com.